Radiotopia.
I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
My father has a meeting in Orlando, and he bought tickets for us. Shruti, my mom, and my sister, Richa. Those are the people he bought tickets for.
When Shruti was six, she went on a family vacation to Florida. And she was so excited about it, she started keeping a travel journal.
And when you drive in lovely Orlando, I'll tell you why I call it lovely Orlando. Because when you drive on the roads in Orlando, or when you walk on the sidewalks in Orlando near people's houses, there are so many palm trees. Everything in Orlando is so nice, except that it is very hot. A picture of the hot sun.
And she got so into keeping her journal that she began to write down every little detail, even the things that most travelers tend to ignore, like the inner workings of an airport terminal.
When we reached the airport, we went in an Airlink, which is a minibus. Then we went in the airport. Then our luggage was checked because good people don't want things like drugs taken into the airplane.
From PRX and Radiotopia, I'm Neil, and this is Mortified. Today on the show, get out your boarding passes and neck pillows because we're about to take off on an awkward adventure.
We've been cleared for departure.
Tales of teenagers who are hit by the travel bug and can't wait to see what exciting discoveries await them. Like,
we gave up and went and got an Alamo bus. The name of the bus was Alamo, but it was just a normal bus.
Hi, my name's Allison. I grew up in a small town in New Hampshire. And in seventh grade, like a lot of kids, we went on a school trip to Washington, D.C. Unlike a lot of kids, I started journaling about this trip months in advance. I probably did this because 1995 was a rough year financially for my family. My parents tried to hide the stress from me, but it didn't really work. So I threw myself into obsessing over the details of this trip. I needed it to be the best time ever. I really had all my anticipation eggs in this one basket. So my journal illustrates how the planning and anticipation of a trip can sometimes be the best part of a trip. The trip itself, eh. So here's what I wrote. My seventh grade trip to Washington, D.C. Before the trip, January 4th, 1995. Happy New Year. Yo, today, Mr. Benningfield, our world geography teacher, handed out permission slips. About eight adults are needed. We will probably get VIP, very important person, tours to the White House, Supreme Court, and possibly the Pentagon. We will be in groups of four in a room at a hotel, a good one like the Ramada. I will probably be with Rebecca Galloway, Ashley Aronson, and Melissa Williams. Melissa has lots of candy. Ashley has lots of music. I have fake barf and dog poop. And Rebecca has a little of everything. This is gonna be wicked cool. I will try to write every day during the trip, but probably won't have time. Allison, January 6th. Rebecca said she might not go with us. Hannah Hartman might take her place. If she doesn't, we might have to go with Nikki. Yuck, I hate Nikki. Allison. March 13th. Mr. Benningfield, the coolest teacher on earth, quit. He was accused of sexual harassment. Yes. The worst part is, he coordinated the whole trip. I got a Washington, D.C. t-shirt. It is really advertising American student travel, but who cares? May 10th. We had an assembly with more details of Washington, D.C. details. This is a bulleted list. The last day, we will have a pool party. We get $6 a day for meals en route. We are staying at a Best Western. If we are bad, we will go home. The bus has a VCR. No more details. May 16th. Ashley Aronson and I have been collecting music for the bus. I got a Blind Melon tape, crisscross tape, and a fish CD. The CD I put on a tape. I didn't have a Discman. P.S. The luggage tags came to Mrs. Stewart yesterday instead of directly to our homes. Oh, no. May 29th. Yesterday, I got two luggage tags. Here's what they look like. They're blue. Breakfast is at 6:30 most days. Medicine has to be in a large Ziploc bag. I have Tylenol and Pepto-Bismol. May 30th, bus. We watched Goonies. Stupid. The Mask, okay. And Star Trek II, really stupid. At the rest stop, I got a t-shirt with money on it. Also stocked up on candy. For lunch, Whopper at Burger King with drink and fries. Dinner, muffin, comma, salad. I spent almost all my $6. So I spent so much time writing before the trip in my journal, I don't even announce when we're in DC. I just jump right into it. May 31st, Vietnam War Memorial. Long. Lincoln Memorial, lots of steps. Construction going on. Ford's Theater, heard the story. Saw a gun he was shot with. White House, big chandelier. June 1st, we went to the Supreme Court. A lady talked to us and she was boring. I don't remember what she said. I watched the fountain outside. The Library of Congress for lunch was bogus. Tomb of the Unknown Soldier was okay. Planet Hollywood was next. It's owned by Arnold Schwarzenegger. The ceiling was cool. It has little stars that lit up on it. We went to the gift shop. Everything was overpriced. A keychain, $6. A bandana, $8. Man, Allison. June 2nd, our last day. The Smithsonian Air and Space Museum was boring. We were there for 5 hours. We went to a t-shirt place. I got one for $4. It has socks, Bill Clinton's cat, with a red and white striped hat on it. It says, socks in the hat. Well, that was fun. Ciao, Allison. That's all I wrote. Thank you.
That was Allison Landry at a Mortified event in Austin, Texas.
Do you like the stories you hear on the Mortified podcast? See it live. We've got upcoming shows in cities across the country. This week, you can catch us in Baltimore and Los Angeles. This spring, you can catch events in Portland, San Francisco, Oakland, Austin, Chicago, Brooklyn, DC, and more. Get your tickets at getmortified.com.
Hi, everyone. My name is Alaysha. I'm from Canada. I grew up in Toronto. It's a big city, but you know, Canadians were always sort of living in the shadow of you guys, the Americans. And so as soon as I could, I wanted to get out. And I was like, okay, what am I gonna do? I'm gonna see the world.
And when Alaysha was 18, she finally got to satiate her wanderlust when...
I backpacked around Southeast Asia for a couple months.
And with a brand new boyfriend in tow. But unfortunately, what should have been an epically romantic trip turned out to be, well, let's just say, anticlimactic.
And so this is the diary of that time. Okay, February 18th, 2002. I'm in Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur. Not much to do here, but the weather is nice and the smokes are cheap. Adam and I have been traveling for a week now. Adam's the guy. Last night, we had sex. Or maybe I should say, I finally lost my V card. It was horrible. First, he had trouble getting it up. Then I had trouble getting it in. And even when we were successful, it hurt. Not as much as I'd feared, but still. The second time was much better, even enjoyable, still a little painful, but not nearly as bad. However, this morning we did it again, and it just hurt so much, like a searing pain that went through my entire body. I had to get it out of me. I just had to. Since then, it hurts to pee and to sit. Man, this better get better. Sex is weird. I don't really know how to describe it. Like, there's a certain pleasure. I guess it's more of a body rush. I can't really describe it. I mean, we've been fooling around for the last month, making out, hand jobs, oral. I always have an orgasm. Maybe this is a different kind of orgasm. I mean, don't get me wrong, I felt something. After sex, I started to think Adam didn't really like me, or rather, he only likes me for the sex I provide. It's bad because I love him a lot. I think things are simpler when you're single. It's true, they are. February 19th, 2002. All we do is lie around. That's it. This morning we woke up at 3 a.m. We lounged till about 7 a.m. Then we had breakfast. Then we came back and got back into bed until noon. In between lounging, we had sex and he went down on me. Sex and oral feel totally different. Like with oral, it's like an explosion. Sex feels a little more chafy. I hope I get better at it soon. February 20th, 2002, 5 a.m., another early morning, and I've been up for an hour. Can't sleep. Thank God we're going to Thailand today, as I positively hate Malaysia. I am such a brat. It's terrible. Thailand should be better. Fingers crossed. February 22nd, 2002. Thank God for Bangkok. It's fabulous. Fast-paced, crazy, generally full of life. Today we went to see the reclining Buddha, the second longest Buddha in all of Thailand. Wow, that Buddha was enormous. So big you couldn't even see it all. Also, it was covered in scaffolding. Funny, you couldn't see it all. February 23rd, 2002. I just don't feel well. I still have to pee all the time. I'm worried it's malaria. We're heading for the beach. A bit of time in the sun should chill us out. We had another argument. I just don't believe he loves me. My yeast infection is clearing up. I'm not sure if I mentioned I had one, but I did. I'm wondering if maybe it's a symptom of something worse. Malaria? I really need to get to an internet cafe. Maybe Yahoo has the answer. February 27th, 2002, 5 a.m. Adam and I are fighting again. Seems like all we ever do is fight and fuck and fight. That's it. I also feel like maybe I'm going crazy. I've been up since 3 a.m. on the toilet. It just burns so much when I pee. Oh, God. I really need to see a doctor, but it just feels really difficult without speaking the language. And then sometimes it goes away and I'm perfectly fine. But I also read somewhere that malaria comes in waves. I hope I don't die. February 28th, last night we went to a full moon rave. We had a fight and decided we should really get out of the hotel and just live a little. The rave was absolutely incredible. Black light, magic mushrooms, colorful flags, fireworks, people juggling fire, delicious food everywhere, also a lot of vomit. March 1st, 2002, oh God, the pee has come back. And now we are on an island in the middle of nowhere and there are literally no doctors anywhere. And it burns. The only thing that helps is when I stand in the ocean. That works because I can basically pee whenever I need to. Honestly, it's becoming so bad it makes me cry. I hope it's not something really bad like dengue fever. Update. Okay, so I found a phone and I called my mom. Anyway, she said it sounded like what I had was a urinary tract infection. What? She asked me if I was peeing after sex. I didn't know I was supposed to. She said, it's really important that I pee every single time. I wish someone had told me this before. Moms are really the best. March 2nd, 2002, I survived February, barely. Sex is proving to be incredibly taxing. First, there was the incredible pain, then the yeast infection, then the bladder infection. I still haven't found a doctor. Then my hip started popping out. Because I have to keep my legs so far apart for so long. And my tendons are becoming loose. My back hurts too. Probably because I'm constantly lying on it. It still hurts when I pee. The discomfort is so daunting. We decided to go to another island. It's even more remote. So it's probably gonna be a while before I see a doctor. Tomorrow will be a long day, fucking infection. So at this point, most people would probably prioritize seeing a doctor. I opted to go further off the grid. March 8th, 2002. Right now we're on an island, Koh Ngai, in the very south of Thailand. It makes Koh Samui look like a shithole. It is a very, very tiny island. You can walk across it in 1 hour. I asked, and there are no doctors here. March 9th, 6 a.m. Today, Adam tried desperately to get me to get him to get off, but I didn't. This surprised him because it's the first time I've ever denied him sex. He's been trying since he woke up, and by 4 p.m., he was determined, but I did not give in. It was too hot, and I simply just wasn't in the mood. Why should he go constantly satisfied when I am not? March 10th, 2002. Adam and I had a small argument. Adam wrote dorky love messages in the sand, so I had to forgive him. Oh, love. March 14th, 2002. We're back in Bangkok. Adam and I started fighting. If he loved me, he would never have taken me to that damn island. We almost broke up. I have trouble accepting that he loves me, which hurts him because in turn, he loves me and I don't love him. And basically our problem is just too much love. The real big news of today is that I finally found a cure to this damn infection. I did not find a doctor, but I found a pharmacy. I went to the counter and this lovely Thai woman was there. She went and got me an antibiotic. It cost $2. I wasn't sure if it would work, but as soon as I took it, I started to feel better. Like, honestly, only 2 hours later, I was feeling better. I was so happy, I was literally in tears. As soon as I felt better, Adam and I had sex. Finally, I'm getting some ass. Also, I think it's bringing us closer together, like, especially after we fight. It still hurts a little, like that burning sensation still isn't gone. Honestly, I think I've realized I'm just not having orgasms. Unless this body numbness is a different kind of orgasm. I'm just glad we finally get to do it again. I love him so much, and he loves me so much, and I know we'll stop fighting eventually. We're going to be together forever. Okay, so Adam and I were not together forever, but we did follow each other to college, and we tortured each other for an additional year. But I learned 3 very important things on this trip. The first was, don't stay with a man who makes you crazy. The second was, a body rush is not an orgasm. And the third, and this one is really for the ladies, always, always pee after sex. Thank you very much.
That was Alaysia Stokes at a Mortified event in Brooklyn. Everything shared on today's show was true. No embellishing, no exaggerating, just God-given awkwardness. And if you'd like to support Mortified, we have plenty of ways to do it. First, tell your friends on social media about an episode of this podcast you loved. And don't forget to tag @MortifiedShow on Instagram or Facebook. Second, visit GetMortified.com to pick up your very own Mortified t-shirts, hoodies, and more. Third, if you've got kids ages 9 to 13, listen to our other podcast, Ooh, You're in Trouble. Each episode features true stories of what happens when kids break the rules, all designed to help your kids make smart decisions in life. Finally, purchase our game, I Can't Believe I Did That, the conversation starter that dares you and your friends to share memories of growing up. It's like hosting your very own Mortified show right in your living room. Now available via Amazon or getmortified.com/game. And for companies wishing to support our podcast while reaching gajillions of listeners with remarkable taste, email sponsor@radiotopia.fm. This series is a team effort, and our podcast production team for this episode includes Hadley Dion, Dave Nadelberg, and myself, Neil Katcher. Some of the stories featured here were produced for the stage by Steven Chupaska, Erica Lees, and Jessica Leith, who are just a few of the amazing producers whose work make the stage show possible. Our end credit music is provided by Snake Snake Snakes. This has been a Mortified Media production for Radiotopia, a network from PRX. Till next time, we remind you that we are freaks, we are fragile, and we all survived.